We want you to open your Bibles this evening in the book of Luke's Gospel and the chapter number 5. That's Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're following the reading of God's precious Word here. And we're taking the Word of the Lord. We pray the Spirit of God will just write His Word upon our hearts. We're just going to read a short passage from God's Word, and that is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse is the verse number 12. Verse number 12. Luke chapter 5 and the verse number 12. And it came to pass that when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear, and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible book for his name's sake. Let's just have a wee word of prayer as we come then to study God's precious word. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. And thy entrance of thy word giveth light. And I pray tonight that those that are still in the darkness of their sin, that the light of the glorious gospel may shine forth into their hearts. Grant that our God, that men and women and young people this night will know what it is to look away to the Savior, look away from themselves, look away from their sin, and, O God, turn in repentance to Christ and in saving faith and come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our God, that sinners are welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that ere the service draws to a close, that thou will prosper the ministry of thy word. And thank you, Lord, for answering prayer for last Lord's Day evening. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, just working in that young man's heart. And we bless thee for answered prayer. And I pray that thou wilt use him mightily for the extension of thy kingdom, for the glory of thy gracious and thine almighty name. And so, Lord, we pray tonight that thou wilt bless us now as we study thy word. May our hearts burn within us, Lord, as thou dost talk to us by the way, as thou dost open unto us the scriptures. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wonder, friend, what you would do if you were walking down a street, and as you were walking down the street, you saw someone approaching you. And as this person was approaching you about 100 steps away from you, suddenly they started to shout at the top of their voice, unclean, unclean. I wonder how you would react to such an occasion. Well, if you'd been living in Bible times, you certainly would perhaps have experienced that on a number of occasions. Because we find here that on many occasions this was a call or a cry that was made by someone as they would approach others. And they would cry out, unclean, unclean. And of course, the person that would hear that would know that that person calling unclean was a poor leper. You see, the law compelled that leper always to give that cry when he approached others so that there would be no possibility of giving that awful disease to others. And we're going to look at such an instance here in this chapter 5 of the book of Luke's Gospel, where a young man full of leprosy called out to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want us to see the story that is before us. Now, whenever some years ago, when I was a lot younger as a preacher, I made a missionary journey to Brazil. And when I went to see Victor and Audrey Maxwell there in Brazil, and also others that were in the mission field, also Dr. Bill Woods and others that were there. When I saw Dr. Woods, he took me to outside the city of Manaus to a place which was a leper colony. And all we found was in that leper colony, there were in that little homes that were there, and there were just simply mud streets.
as we traveled there, he said, I want you to come to the leper hospital. I want you to come because our brother was one of the specialists in the leper hospital. A person who came, was educated in Belfast, went out to Brazil. His heart was really touched by the suffering that he saw. And he came home again and became a doctor and is the leading eye specialist in the whole of Brazil tonight. And is also an amazing doctor in looking after those that were leprosy patients. I remember whenever I came to the hospital there, and as I you know, you have your own idea of what leprosy is. And I remember going into the hospital, and I saw people that were suffering from leprosy. He brought me into the surgery as the person came in. And you know, they came in, and some of the folks who had already visited him before came in. And they were coming in, and just as they were coming through the door, friend, to be honest, the thing the smell would hit you. The awful smell of rotting flesh. And you know, he would take the bandages off perhaps it was the leg or the foot of the person were there, because there was different people would come in. And he would take that bandage off, and it was putrid. It was, the stench of it was awful. But nevertheless, that was something our brother was called of God to look and to help. And then I remember Brother Victor taking me into the village, and as I went into the village, it was 7,000 people were in that little leper colony, that village outside the city of Manaus. 7,000 people. Now remember, they were families of lepers, because they were there in that place outside the city. Even in these days, they were outside the city of Manaus. I remember going into it, and Brother Victor said to me, he said, you know, there's a wee pastor I want you to meet. I want you to see this little wee pastor, because this pastor has just taken over in the little church in the village of lepers. He said to me, you know, I want to tell you something about him. The pastor is a leper. And I remember well going into it, and he drove up there, and he stopped the car, and he dooted the horn of the car, and this wee man came out, and let me tell you, his face lit up with the joy of the Lord. The countenance was radiant of the joy of Christ. You know, Victor had said to me before, he said, you know, brother, they love you to reach out your hand and to take theirs. And you know, he said, you know, a lot of people will not do it. They will understand if you don't. But he said, you know, they love it when you do get past the fear of that leprosy. And so I remember the wee brother came round to Brother Victor, Brother Victor. And he was so excited. And Victor said, I've got a brother from Northern Ireland. This is my brother, Pastor McRae, and he's with me, and we're just having meetings, and we're enjoying the fellowship of the gospel together. He has come from Northern Ireland. And you know, his face was so happy, and he just made his way just as a shot round to my side of the car. And I opened the window, and immediately he reached in his wee hand. Friend, let me tell you, all it was just was a stump. His fingers were gone. It was just a little stump of a hand that had been taken with leprosy. And I must be honest before God, when he reached up that little hand, the thought came into my head, because in the hospital that we were visiting, there was a nurse. She was a missionary nurse from America, and she had gone back to America having contracted leprosy. Whenever I saw the wee stump of a little hand there of a leper reached out to me, I asked myself, what am I going to do? I remember what Victor said, they'll understand if you don't take it. But oh, what a joy is whenever you reach out that hand. And I said, Lord, you reached out your hand to me in the leprosy of my sin. And I reached out my hand and I took that wee stump and mine. And he said, brother, brother. He was so delighted that I'd reached out my hand and taken my hand in his. 7,000 were in that leper colony outside the city of Manaus. Friend, I want you to understand what that meant. You say, why were they out there? Because they were put out there. They were cast out there because they were lepers. And I want you to think of this story here in the Word of God. Look at verse number 12. It came to pass that when Jesus was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The first thing I want you to notice here is the man's condition. The man's condition. You see, in Bible times, leprosy was a dreaded disease. In actual fact, it was regarded as one of the worst human afflictions. What a dreadful discovery that must have been when for the first time that young man discovered that he had leprosy. Now it was suggested that it shows itself during the ages of 10 to 30, most often in the earlier years of life. It is more prevalent in boys than in girls. Perhaps that young lad was washing himself, maybe a young man was washing himself one morning, and he saw a white spot, just a little white spot. That's all it is. That's how it starts. Or maybe sometimes, in some cases, it's a red patch, quite often in the back of his hand. If he was a young lad, he wouldn't understand what it was. I can see him as he beckons to his mother. Mother, I have a little spot here. Or mother, I have a little red patch here. Mother, what is it? See, the moment that mother looked at it, friend, she knew exactly what it was. She knew her son was a leper. Her boy was diseased. You see, the interesting thing about leprosy is this, friend. It is, first of all, a hidden disease. Because, you see, leprosy is there in that young body, but it's working inside. It's working internally. And for many years, a person can be a leper, and yet it is not seen. There is nothing there. It is hidden away for years. It's invisible. And yet, although it's invisible, friend, it's working away. And then eventually, after time, one little spot appears. But you see, when it does, friend, it was the sentence of death. It had been working away internally, away from the eyes of man. And yet, my friend, soon that little spot that was spread. They say that leprosy works away at the nerves. It attacks the nerve endings. And what happens is there is a numbness then. You know, a person who has got leprosy can put their hand in scalding water, but they can't feel it. A person can put their hand, a leper, can put their hand in the fire. They can't feel it. A leper could walk on a nail, and into that foot, that nail is driven through, but he can't feel it. Why? Because the leprosy has been working away, friend, attacking the end of the nerves, and there's a numbness without feeling. You know, whenever you see that little deformed hand, people say, you know, what happens is this, that somehow the fingers, they just rot away. But friends, on many occasions, that is not so. It is not as simple as that. Because that leprosy will bring a deformment. That leprosy will bring a disfigurement. It destroys the body. You know, it is said that in the 1800s, one of the first physicians that worked with leper patients, whenever it was discovered, Way back then, when it was discovered a person had leprosy, that doctor would give to the patient, listen to me, would give to the patient a cat. You say, what for? Why would a doctor give a patient a cat? I'll tell you why. Because you see, friend, what happens that deadness of the skin, that deadness, the numbness of the fingers, there is no feeling. And whenever away back then, that poor person would lie down on the ground at night. And whilst the person would be sleeping with the smell of the decaying flesh, the rats and the mice would come, attracted by the rotten flesh. And whilst that person was lying, sleeping, unknown to them, friend, because without feeling, the rats would eat their fingers off. And in the morning, there'd be no finger. Because of the rats or the mice. And that's why the doctor gave, because the doctor gave them the cat to drive away the mice, to keep away the mice, because the flesh was rotting whilst they lived. Friend, listen, it was a living death. It was a living death. I'll tell you something else. Why were the lepers in the leper colony, friend? I'll tell you why. Because when leprosy was discovered, that boy or that young man was turned out of his house. He was never allowed to return home again. He could look after himself. He would have to fend for himself. He could not live with his family anymore because his leprosy caused a separation. He was separated from his family from that moment onward because there's the fear of contracting leprosy, contagious. And so he was isolated. And he lived a lonely existence. In actual fact, as he retreated from his home quite often, they would carry out a ceremony and declare him legally dead. He was a leper. He was not allowed to disguise his leprosy. You know how the people tried to cover up a sickness or a sore? They tried to cover up, but a leper was not allowed to do it. There were things that a leper, you read the book of Leviticus chapter 23 and chapter 24. Read the book for yourself, friend. And the leper was not allowed to cover up or disguise the awful disease that he had. He would have to rip his coat. He was not allowed to have a covering on his head. He would cover his mouth. And that was not only because of the shame of his leprosy, because leprosy would affect not only his hand, it would affect his lips, it would affect his face, it would affect his feet, it would affect his whole body. And the first appearance was just a simple little spot. But friend, by the time the spot appeared, the sentence of death was already given because leprosy had been working away for years. And so he was separated. He put his hand over his mouth in shame, but also lest the wind would carry something from him that others would contract the disease from him. And when anyone approached where he was, he would cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And people would run from him. Think of the loneliness. Think of despair. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4, verse 27, there were many lepers in Israel. Many. And friend, you know, in that leper colony, the lepers may have a different, they may have been different racially. But they weren't different physically. They weren't different as far as the disease they carried. And look at the scriptures it says in verse number 12. Behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, who's writing it? It's the book of Luke. What was Luke? He was a doctor. And the doctor records, here's a man that was full of leprosy. You know what that meant, friend? That meant that leprosy had advanced so far to cover the entire body of that young man. And the end was near. He was doomed. He carried the sentence of death. There was no hope. And yet, my friend, let me tell you something. You've got an affliction worse than leprosy. It's sin. Sin is worse in its symptoms. Sin is worse in its consequences. Here we find that the leper cried unclean. In other words, he realized that that's what he was. He was conscious of his uncleanness. And yet the sad reality is this, that many who come to the house of God, friend, in their sin, they're totally unaware that they carry the sentence of death within them. He that believeth not, the word of God says, is condemned already. He carries the sentence of death. He realized it. He was full of leprosy. Now, what does the word of God say about your heart and mine? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the sad reality is tonight, listen, men and women in their sin, and they're drinking and they're gambling, they're going on in their sin, and they're dancing their way to hell, and yet they don't know it. They're without feeling. They don't realize how lost they really are. They don't realize that they are doomed in their sin. They don't realize that they're without hope and without Christ. They don't realize how unclean they are. Sinner, you ought to pray, oh God, please open my eyes and let me see my heart as it really is. I often think of Dr. Woods as he took those bandages off. And those bandages were rotten. And friend, he would cast it away. And the stench. And yet, you know what God says? All your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And yet, men and women today, let me tell you, they think that they're going to heaven. They think they're good enough to get into heaven. They think that God will open the door of heaven and say, come on in. And they do not see that all of their righteousness, that is the best that they can do, is as filthy rags in God's sight. You see, the Bible says this young man with leprosy, he was full of it. What does Isaiah chapter 1 say? Verse 6. From the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, there's naught but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Friend, let me tell you, you're full of the leprosy of sin. The total depravity of man. Read the book of Romans chapter 3, friend. And you'll find that Romans chapter 3 tells us how that sin affects us, every part of our being. God says there is none righteous. God says, no, not even one of you. There is no man tonight in the service or woman can say, well, listen, I'm good enough for God. I'll make it to heaven on my own. That's what God's word says. Romans chapter 3, verse 11, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 12, they are all gone out of the way. They are all together are become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. That's the picture of man. The leprosy of man's sin affects every part of his being. And God says your heart is deceitful above all things. In actual fact, it's so deceitful you couldn't imagine it. Who can know it? And the Bible says he was full of it. And sinner, you're full of sin tonight. And yet you're facing God. And you can't see it. You're lost. You can't feel it. I've often used the illustration of the wee girl in Macaran the 12th of July some years ago. And as I was standing there, about to have the open air, there was this woman and her little child were walking down the street. And they made their way to this van. It was an ice cream van. And they walked up to the ice cream van and the wee girl got her wee ice cream. And she was standing there and she was holding it in her hand. She started to lick it. And then she started to walk away. She was so taken up with the ice cream. And mother was so taken up with her ice cream that mother went that way and the wee girl that went that way. And friend, they were separated the one from the other until one moment the wee girl was nearly finished her ice cream and she looked around to see her mommy, but mommy wasn't there. And friend, in just one second, that wee girl realized, I'm lost. And I can still see the big policeman walk over to the wee lassie. And the wee girl was standing, the tears were running down her cheeks, and friend, they were real, they were scorching tears of a little child who realized the awfulness of being lost in that crowd. And the big policeman knelt down beside the wee girl and says, darling, what's wrong? And she says, mister, I'm lost. I've lost my mommy. Listen, when she realized she was lost, it broke her heart. Listen, does it not break your heart that you're lost? Does it not touch you, man or woman, in this meeting tonight that you're lost? Without Christ and without hope, the sentence of death is already upon you and in you. The seed of your own destruction is in your heart. Seed of your sin. And the wages of your sin is death. I tell you, God needs to open your eyes to see your lost estate. Here's a young man, and he's full of sin. Very quickly, we're going through this. Notice not only his condition, notice the coming. It says, behold, a man full of sin, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, friend, there is no mention here of this man crying unclean. But he fell at the feet of Jesus. And he said, Lord, if you will, thou canst make me clean. He knew he was unclean. Do you know you're a sinner tonight? Do you know that? Notice he came humbly. He came reverently to the Lord. When he saw Jesus, he fell on his face. He was broken in the presence of the Son of God. And there he humbles himself at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he falls on his face. The Bible says he was full of leprosy. Was his face disfigured? I don't know. I don't know what his disfigurement was, but I do know this. He was full of leprosy. And leprosy disfigures. And he falls at the feet of Jesus. Now, the Bible tells us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, about a young man that came one day running to Jesus. He wasn't full of leprosy, but he was full of sin. And he knelt down at the feet of Jesus and he said, good master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus Christ told him what he ought to do. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. Which are you, friend? Will you go away from Christ tonight? Or will you humble yourself before the Lord and fall on your face before the Lord and humble yourself and admit that you are a sinner? He came reverently. He came humbly. Listen, he came believingly. Notice what he said. He says, Lord. He acknowledges that Jesus is Lord. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. There was no other cure. There was no other cure for leprosy, friend. But here's a young man, and he believes that Jesus is the answer, that Jesus, the Son of God, can heal him. And he said, Lord, if you will. There's another man in the Scriptures, if you turn just back for a wee moment, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. In the presence of Jesus. And this is what he said. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 21. And he asked his father, how long has it been since this child, or this came unto him? And he said of a child, oft times if he cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And then he said this, if thou canst do anything, Lord, if you can do anything. You see, friend, he didn't believe the Lord could. Lord, if you can do anything. That's not what the leper said. Lord, he says, if thou wilt, thou canst. He believed the Lord could. He came believingly to the Lord. He knew that the Lord had the ability to heal him. I wonder tonight, do you realize that the Lord's able to save you? There is not a man or a woman, a young person in this meeting, listen, that's too far or too hard in their sin or too far from God for God to save you. God is able to save to the uttermost, listen, all that come unto God by him. He is able to save to the uttermost. And here is a young man, and he falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and he said, Lord, if you will, that's the only thing, Lord, if you're willing, thou canst make me clean. He believed in the power of Christ to do it. But he came not only humbly, and he came not only believingly, he came submissively. Because he says, Lord, if you will, I'll be clean. I've no other hope. I've no other hope. I'm in your hands. I'm in your hands, Lord. He believed that God could. He believed the Lord was able to do it. The only question is, would he? It's not could he, it's would he. And he submitted himself to the will of God. And then he came honestly. Because he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What was he saying, friend? Lord, I'm not clean. I'm not clean. He wanted to be clean, friend, but he knew he wasn't. He couldn't cover up his sin. He didn't want to do that. He confessed his real need. He wanted to be clean. He wanted rid of his leprosy. And so he came to the Lord. He says, Lord, if you will, I'll be clean. Can I ask you a question? Soon be through. Do you want to be cleansed tonight? Do you want to be clean? Do you want to be rid of your sin? Is there a man or woman in this service, a young person, that wants to go to hell? Do you? Do you want to die in your sin? Do you want to go to a lost eternity? Do you want to be eternally separated from God in the darkness of hell? Do you want to be clean? This young man did. Do you? Well, friend, if you do, I'll tell you this. You've got to come to Jesus. For he's the only answer. Christ is the answer. There's the coming. Then there's the contact. Notice this. Verse 13, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now let me tell you something, friend. You see, that day that lad saw that spot of leprosy, and his mother knew he was a leper, he was thrown out. From that moment on, never a father's hand would go on that young lad's shoulder and say, son, I'm glad you're mine. Never from that moment would a mother's arms go round her child and would she kiss him and touch him with her lips and say, darling, you're mine and I love you. For never again would a mother hold him in her arms. You say, why? Because the law of Moses was this. When you dare touch a leper, ceremonially, you are defiled. You are unclean yourself. And yet when that young man cried out, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, it says, and Jesus put forth his hand and he touched him. All it took was the cry of the leper to Jesus. And Jesus touched him. You say, what about the defilement? Read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When that poor sinner cried out to the Lord Jesus did not stand afar off from him, but he reached forth his hand and he touched him. It wasn't a hand to cast him away, friend. It wasn't a hand to throw him out. It was a hand to touch him, to heal him. And isn't it amazing? The hand of a holy Savior touched the unclean sinner. But it went further. He became sin for us. He took and bare our sin in his own body on the tree. That thank God that you and I could be cleansed and forgiven of our sin, that we could be healed. And notice it says in verse 13, and I know time's away, Jesus says, I will. What a moment, friend. I will, says Jesus. He says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I believe you can do it. Will you, Lord? Will you, Lord, heal me? Lord, will you make me clean? And Jesus touched him and he says, I will. And then he said three words, be thou clean. Friend, he's only a call away. The word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's the cleansing. There's the cleansing. Notice it says in verse 13, and immediately the leprosy departed. The moment you call, thank God the work's done. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Lord Jesus doesn't ask you to go through contortions. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't put you through misery. And let me tell you, friend, you're already in misery. If you'd only know your sinfulness before a righteous and a holy God. But thank God it says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. Instantaneous healing. Listen, he was healed already. In a moment. And thank God, him or her that cometh to me, says Jesus, I will in no wise cast out. There's a wee verse over there in Ezekiel chapter 36. And this is what the Lord says, verse 25, 26. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. You see, when a person gets saved, thank God you're clean. Now are ye clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And friends, let me tell you, immediately the leprosy departed from him. No one could attribute that healing to anyone else or to any other cause. It was immediately when Jesus touched him and Jesus said, "Be thou clean." Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. You can be saved tonight. You can. You can be saved right now. Whosoever shall call right now upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on him? Will you say, "Lord, save me. I perish." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. This old leper, poor sinner, covered full of leprosy, fell at thy feet and cried upon thy name, "Lord, Lord, Lord, make me clean." We thank you, Lord, that not only did he call, but Lord Jesus, he answered, "I will. I will. Be thou clean." And Lord, if there's someone in this meeting tonight and they're still in their sin, give them the grace to call. Give them the grace, Lord, to humble themselves and fall at your feet and call upon your name. And Lord, you'll save them. You'll make them a new creature in Christ. And Lord, that man was never the same again. Lord, do that work of grace tonight in this meeting. I once was a sinner to grace, a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger, and I felt not my load. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name, open the eyes of the sinner. Help them to feel their danger. Help them, our God, to feel the load of their sin and give them grace to call, "Lord, save me." As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, can I simply say to you, I'll be going to the minister's room in a moment. Dear unsaved person, I beg you in God's name, don't leave without the Lord. You know, there are many people, and they're unlike this man in the Scriptures because they don't see their need. There's many people going about to establish their own righteousness, and yet they're rotten with sin. And friend, if you're like that, and if you don't confess your sin, you'll perish forever. May God give you grace to come to Christ. I'll be in the minister's room. Come and speak to me. I'll show you from God's word how you can be saved and know you're saved. Lord Jesus, by thy Holy Spirit, bring the sinner to yourself. In Jesus' name. Amen.